I have a friend who says that he believes when we get to heaven, we're going to go, wow. When we finally see him and God's going to say, oh, you like that, did you? Check this out about me. Whoa, he's going to say, that's nothing. Let me show you this. And we're going to go, wow. So we're going to spend the whole of eternity just going, woo, hee, hoo, ha, whoa. Isn't that amazing? We haven't seen anything yet. You know that? I love God. I was telling Merla, I had planned to speak something else this morning, and God woke me up and said, no, this is what I want you to talk about. And then I came in, and all the worship songs were on what I was going to talk about this morning. And I was like, God, I love you. You're so amazing. I want to talk to you a little this morning about what's going on when God takes too long. Anybody here ever wondered, how long is this going to last? How long is this going to go on in my life? When is the breakthrough coming? Where are you, Lord? You ever wondered that? You know, life can leave you bitter or you can get better. And it's our choice, it's our response that really determines the outcome of any situation that we're in. I have a girlfriend named Pamela. Pamela called me one day and she said, girl, I need you to pray for me because my commissions aren't coming through, and I really need my check at the end of the month because I've spent that money already. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I said, well, maybe there's a lesson in this, Pamela, that you shouldn't spend money you don't have, but I'm sure that God will honor you and show up. But, you know, he's like a brother. He always comes at the last minute. I can say that. You can't say that. She said, girl, I need him to be white today because, you know, white folks come early. I love that. Oh, but did you know that God can love you and still let you suffer? Because he loves you, sometimes he delays things to build character in you and allow them to get pretty worse just to test your faith and build your faith muscles up. And one of my favorite stories of showing how God can be a God of process is found in John chapter 11. You know, he uses the inconveniences of our lives in order to perfect our growth, increase our faith in him, and glorify himself. Amen? You know, when we talk about glorifying God, what exactly does that mean? Glorifying God means being an accurate reflection of God, his power and his presence at work in our lives. We always want that. Amen? And so he uses our lives to show off. Did you know that? So you should be happy that God has chosen you to show off in your life to win others to himself. Amen? It says in John 11 that there was a certain man who was ill. You all know him. His name is Lazarus. Lazarus of Bethany. And he lived in the village of Mary, and he had two sisters, Mary and Martha. You know, Mary was the one that wept at Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And you know, Martha was the busybody who was fussing because Mary wouldn't help her in the kitchen. That Mary, you know, they were very close. They were like that. They were, you know, they were tight. And it says that the sisters sent a message to Jesus saying, Lord, he whom you love. I think that they put that part in italics. This isn't just any Lazarus. This is the one that you really love. Is ill. Because, you know, we have this thing in our minds that if God loves us, we shouldn't suffer. If God loves me, he's not going to let anything bad happen to me. That's one of the myths in Christendom. So when life rocks us, we're upset. Sometimes we're upset with God. Like, how could you let this happen? But life is life. And he says, in this life, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So you should never be shocked or rocked by any instance that happens in your life because God has already overcome it for you. Amen? And so it says, he whom you love is ill. It says, but when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness is not unto death. Another translation says that he said, this is not critical. Now, sometimes I think stuff is critical when he doesn't think it's critical. That's the phlegmatic part of his temperament. You know, he's all of the temperaments. He's a sanguine. He's never met a stranger. He's a choleric. He's focused on his mission. He's melancholy. He's critically thinking and always on point. And the phlegmatic part of him is just cool at all times. This is not critical. It was critical. The man was dying. He says, It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified. So we first of all know that he uses trials in our lives to demonstrate his sovereignty and to show you that everything is always under his control. Amen? So he says, this is my favorite scripture in the Bible. It says, now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister, Mary, and Lazarus. So the Bible wants to confirm to you that they didn't get it wrong. He whom you love, yes, they were not wrong in that assumption. The Father takes the time now to write in the scripture that, yes, indeed, Jesus did love them very much. He loved them so much that it says, so when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed away. Can you imagine? I used to love that Supreme song, come see about me. That's what we do with God, right? If you love me, you'll come and see about me. But the scripture says clearly here now, Jesus loved them, so he stayed away. Stayed away 2 days longer. What's he trying to do? Sometimes God is trying to kill you. Literally. He's saying, just die. Die to that thing. Let it go. Die. It says, then after that, he said, let's go to Judea. Now, you know, they wanted to kill him in Judea, so the disciples thought he was crazy. Why are you going there? And he says, you know, there's 12 hours in a day. We can go. Let's go. You've got the light with you. Let us go. There's going to come a dark time when you won't be able to go there. But for now, we are going. He says, Lazarus, our friend, has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. He was dead. But Jesus says, he's asleep. What's up with that, Jesus? He's always calling dead people sleeping. Because he knows through the eyes of heaven's scope that nothing in your life is dead. It's only sleeping. It's a temporary situation at best. Sleep is temporary to God. When we fall asleep, to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. It's never over with us. We are eternal creatures. We are spiritual creatures having a human experience. And so Jesus is not upset about it. And so the disciples fall in line with what he said. Oh, good. Well, if he's sleeping, that means his fever is broken and he's getting better. And then Jesus says, no, fools, he's dead. Lazarus is dead, and I am glad. That's what it says. Look in your Bible. Lazarus has died, and for your sake, I am glad that I was not there. Why? Because if he had been there, Lazarus couldn't have died. Can't die in the presence of Christ. He is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm glad I wasn't there so that you can believe. So let us go with him. And poor little doubting Thomas says, well, come on, let's just all go and die with him. At least he was willing to go die with him, huh? Praise God. So to increase our faith, God sometimes makes us face our fears, right? He tests our commitment. Were they going to be willing to go even in the face of maybe death? Yes, they went. And it says that when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem and about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him because, you know, Martha's busy like that. She couldn't wait. But Mary remained seated in the house. Interesting, the same posture she had when Jesus was in the house. Seated at his feet. She remained seated. But I'm wondering if she was a little upset. I'm wondering if she was seated with attitude. You know, sometimes when we think something's over and God didn't fix it for us, we get an attitude. I don't know about you, but I do. I go, you know, Lord, I'm not feeling the love right now. But Martha goes to him and she says, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now, she was correct about that. She says, but even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And Jesus said, your brother will rise again. He was so cool. And Martha said to him, I know, such a little know-it-all. I know that he will rise again at the last day. That's not what Jesus said. He didn't say anything about the last day. He said, your brother will rise. You see, sometimes the Lord allows things to happen in your life to shake you up and dismantle what you think you know. We like to put God in a box. This is the way God works. This is the way he's always going to work. And so you're looking for him from the left and he comes from the right. And sometimes we miss it because we're not open and flexible enough to know that God is very capricious. And he'll come any way he pleases. And he's not going to stay in your little box. He's going to explode that box. He's going to destroy and dismantle your formula of who you think he is and how he works in your life so that you can remain open to all the glorious exhibitions that he wants to put on in your life. He wants to destroy what you know and show you a deeper truth. He said, your brother will rise again. She said, I know. She didn't know anything. He said, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Speaking spiritually of us in our death and our sin, amen? That when we believe in him, we will live, but also physically. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you know that you're never really going to die? You're just going to pass through. You're an ambassador. See, you were already here in the mind of God before the foundations were laid in the earth. And you're in earth and you'll go back home. Did you know that? You're like an ambassador. You don't live according to the world's economy because you're an ambassador of heaven. So you live by heaven's economy, which says that you'll flourish in the midst of famine. And on and on and on. So if you get it in your mind that you're not an earthly citizen, you're really a heavenly citizen, and that you're just here as an ambassador, your mind then takes on a kingdom mentality, and you live above your circumstances in the here and now. He said to her, do you believe this? And she said, yes, Lord, I believe that. You are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. What did that mean? She just sounds so religious, doesn't she? Do you believe this? I believe that. Well, this is not that. Sometimes we get stuck in a situation and it looks familiar to something that happened before that stirs in our memory. And we go, oh, this is that. No, this is not that. This is a new thing. God is trying to do a new thing in your life. Amen? So this is not that. Leave that where you left it. We set limits on our faith. What we think we can believe for. It was safer to say something broad about Jesus and not really believe for a specific in case he disappointed. For God never disappoints. When she said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, the teacher is here and he's calling for you. He hadn't called for Mary. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and she went to him. Now, you know, at this point in the story, I got a little worried because Jesus had not yet stepped into the village. And I thought that was kind of rude. You know, Jesus, you should have gone to the house. I mean, what's up with that? You're making everybody come out to you. But I believe that he was trying to pull them out of where they were, mentally as well as physically. You know, sometimes you've got to get away from where you were and what you were in to see the forest for the trees. Sometimes we're so deeply entrenched in our pain that we can't even see the grace that's surrounding the pain. And so Mary had to come out. She had to come out from that place of mourning and see Jesus in another light. And when she got there, he said, Lord, same sob story. If you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly distressed. Now, it's interesting. He wasn't so distressed over Martha being distressed. He expected Martha to be distressed. But Mary, you were the one that sat at my feet. You were the one that got the deposit of things that could not be taken away from you. You are the one who really knows me. I expect you to have a different expectation of me. This distressed him. You know, sometimes we disappoint Jesus when we wrangle with ourselves and our faith concerning him. And he goes, man, don't you know me better than that? Remember when he said to the disciples, how long have I been with you? Come on, you know me. You know I will never leave you or forsake you. You know I'm not a man that I should not lie. I don't even change my mind. Trust me. He said, where have you laid him? Of course he knew. I love it when Jesus asks questions. It's for us to locate ourselves. He already knows where we are. And so she said, Lord, come and see. And it says, Jesus wept. Now, there have been many discussions about why Jesus wept. A friend of mine said, oh, you know, he weeps with us in sympathy with people. I said, I don't think so. He said, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad. So I don't think he was crying about the death of Lazarus. I think he was crying and weeping at the lack of belief that he had been with these people. He had eaten with them. He had grown close to them. And they still didn't believe. And he just simply wanted them to believe. Do you know how we pull at the strings of God's heart when we trust him? I have my little puppies that teach me about the love of God. They do. And it's amazing how trusting animals are. Even when they're abused, when you say come, they'll still come. Do you know that? There's something in them that's so loyal and has so much faith in us, and it pulls at our heartstrings. That's why some people cry more over when their pets die than when people die. Because there's such an incredible amount of love that comes from an animal. The trust they have, the dependency that they have on you. It stirs your heart. And I look at that and I go, that's how God is towards us. When we love him and we trust him, it moves his heart. It stirs him to want to show off for us and show out in your life. And they said, oh, how he loved him. But some of them were critical and said, couldn't the same man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Of course he could have. That's why he stayed away. If he had showed up, Lazarus would never have died. And he wanted to show them something greater than where they were at the present time. So he says, move away the stone. And they're like, what? He says, move it. Move the stone away. Just pull it back. And they're like, no, he's been dead for 4 days now. He stinks. And sometimes we're saying to the Lord, Lord, my life stinks. My marriage stinks. My kids stink. My finances stink. Everything about my world just stinks. It seems like it's not. You can't revive it. Nothing good can come out of it. It's over, Lord. You see, the difference in this miracle was that Jesus had raised people before, but it was when they had just died or, you know, a day in. At 4 days, your body is seeing corruption. It's beyond the point of return. And so he waited for the situation to look like it was beyond the point of return to go and revive it. Is there a situation in your life that looks beyond the point of return? Keep the faith. It's not over yet. It's not over till Jesus says it's over. And it's never over with him. Jesus said, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And this is one of my favorite scriptures. I think it's so powerful. It says, Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. He made that assumption. What does he tell us? He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with supplication and prayer and thanksgiving, make your request known unto God. He says, when you come to pray, anticipate me answering you. Don't come with a question. Don't just throw your needs at me. Have the anticipation ready of seeing the results of what you've asked for. Amen? He says, my plans towards you in Jeremiah 29:11 are for good and not for evil. And the Message version says, and to give you the desire that you hope for, the expected end that you hope for. God actually wants to give you what you hope for. Do you believe that? For those who come to him must believe that he is, that he exists, that he is the great I am. I am whatever you need me to be in that hour, and that I care enough to respond to your request, the Message version says. Amen? And so he says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me. Wow. Do you believe that God hears every prayer that you pray? You should. He had such a confidence when he approached God. I love that. I thank you that you have heard me and you always hear me when I pray. Amen. I believe that. So I'm very careful about what I pray, because when I pray stuff, honey, it happens. But I say this on the account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice saying, Lazarus, come out. You know, some of you just need to speak to your situation and say, marriage, come out. Finances, come out. Crazy kids, come out. Amen. You need to speak that thing into existence. It says, when the righteous decree a thing, it shall be established. Because Abba, Father, God is our Father, and his blood now flows in our brains. Genetically, we have the same creative power that he has. The power of life and death is in our tongue. And that's why I don't like people to say, I just love you to death. Don't love me to death. You better love me to life or keep that. But the power of life and death is in your tongue. You get to speak some things into existence. You need to speak to your world. Speak to your mate. Speak over your children. Begin to announce. Call those things that are not as though they were until they are established, physically manifesting in your world. Lazarus, come out. And he came out. And they were, wow, but he was still bound, his head and his hands and his feet. And he said, loose him and let him go. You know, sometimes we're alive, but we're still bound. And God is saying, I don't want to just wake you up. I want to free you. I want to free you from the things that bind you. Don't throw away your confidence. That confident trust in the Lord. There's a great reward that comes when we're patient, believing that he will come. Sometimes we just need endurance in this Christian walk. And he says, when we've done the will of the Father, he that will come and will not tarry. And he will bring deliverance and healing in his wake. He will bring renewal in his wake. He will bring restoration in his wake. He will bring revival in his wake. God allows some circumstances in our lives simply to glorify himself and build up our faith trophy case. See, everybody should have that case so that when something happens, you can look at the case and say, I remember back then when I thought that was impossible, but he came through. I remember when the doctor said that, but he healed me. I remember when I thought that was over, but he revived it. And so if he did it then, he can do it now. Amen. But this was just a setup. Do you realize that Lazarus dying was just a setup? It was a setup for when Christ himself died. He was trying to prepare the disciples to have the faith about his own resurrection. Remember, the word said he would not see corruption, so he rose on the third day. This was also the catalyst for that resurrection, because after everybody heard about Lazarus, it said that people flocked to see Lazarus as well as Jesus. They wanted to see Jesus and they wanted to see the miracle. And that is when the Pharisees decided, oh, we got to kill both of them. They're messing us up. You see, the enemy is not just after killing your faith in Jesus. He's after killing you and your testimony, because others are going to believe because of the testimony on your life. God wants to make you fruitful in the land of your affliction. Remember when Joseph went through all that stuff? And then he named his son Ephraim. And they said, God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. I should have some fruit to show other people and say, yes, this is what was going on in my life, but this is what Jesus did. And they're going to say, I want that same Jesus. I need that Jesus in my life. God is up to something bigger than your present circumstance. And so I want you to see through the eyes of God himself, get a heavenly perspective of life, and see that something greater is going on. I always say that you know what's coming based on the attack in your life presently. If my finances are suffering, that means I've got a financial blessing coming. You see what I'm saying? So if something's going on in your marriage and it looks like it's all lost, that means that God's going to unify you in a greater way, make your bond stronger, make your love more alive, and something great is going to come out. Anytime you look and you can look at the attack, you should be able to anticipate the blessing based on the attack. Amen? And so sure enough, this was all just a setup for the death and resurrection of Christ. But Lazarus wasn't afraid anymore. How can a dead man be afraid of death? He had died already. Amen? The Bible says that unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Every situation in your life should make something die and make more fruit emerge in your life than ever before. Now, sometimes you might not receive the thing that you think is dead back, but you'll receive something greater. I remember when I first came to the Lord, it was because of the death of the guy I was living with. It was a life for a life. It was the thing that propelled me into the arms of Jesus. I lost him, but I gained Christ. What a great gift that was. And so today I want to challenge you. What's dying, sickly, or dead in your own life? Can you have faith just one more time for God to breathe over your life and resurrect something so incredible that you never anticipated? Will you give him room to glorify himself? Worship team, will you come? I want you to just bow your heads with me. Today you might be saying, I've been struggling in my life, Michelle, and some things do look as if they're dead. I need that relationship with Jesus that promises restoration. I need Jesus in my life. I need him to show up at my house and speak, I am the resurrection and the life. If that's you, I'd like to pray with you this morning. If you just raise your hand where you are, I'll pray with you. Yes, I see those hands. Praise the Lord. I need Jesus to step into my situation. I need Jesus to come into my life, to be my Lord, to be my Savior. Can we just pray together? Heavenly Father, I look to you. Jesus, I know you are the way, the truth, and the life. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth now that you are Lord. Forgive me of my sin. Restore me. Give me your life. Be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you confessed that, do you have someone, some materials? If you confess that today for the first time, will you raise your hand? And I believe that they have something to give you. Just stand. Stand where you are. Okay. Praise God. Now, I want to pray a second prayer. For those who've just been struggling, Lord, I know you, but I have been wondering where you are in my situation. If that's you today, and you're saying, Lord, I need you to show up. I need you to glorify yourself. I need you to speak life over this thing that I think is dead in my life. If that's you, would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? Hallelujah. I see those hands. He's here right now. Do you know that? He is a present help in time of trouble. And all he's asking for is your trust. Can you just tell him right now, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm believing you. I'm stretching out my faith. I'm going to dare to have faith in you one more time and hold on as long as it takes to see the manifestation of your glory over my situation, over my life. I pray for strength for you, the endurance that you need until he shows himself strong.
Thank you for listening to another Father's House podcast. For any more information, please visit our website at www.fathershousesa.org or connect with us on any one of our social media platforms.